Good morning. Who knows God's plan for their life? No more than 20 minutes each. Any idea what God's up to in your life? In a year. Right. God's plan for you is adoption into his family. Is that good? God's plan is for you that when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Is that good? God's plan for you is for you to sit and realize you are in his presence always. Is that good? I'm kind of dissenters yet, anyway. And God's plan for you is holiness. Is that good as well? Oh, thank goodness for that. I was getting worried then. And God wants you to be holy as he is holy. Is that good? Is it easy? Who's holy like God? Well, there's only about three real Christians in this place, so there you go. Perhaps I better change to a more evangelical preach. So. Who can be holy? Get that hand down. No, we can't. Okay. God has given us a life that naturally keeps the whole law, that naturally obeys and pleases him, and naturally lives its life according to God's own nature. Who's got that life? Yes. You can put your hands up now, don't worry. How did you get it? Because God was in a good mood one day. God saw you, and because of who he is and what he's like, he loved you so much, he saw that there was no way that you could ever be anything except an object of his wrath, and that you would, at the end of the time, be lost forever from him. And God didn't like that. And so he actually gave himself in our place and your place, that everything we've ever done wrong or ever could do wrong was laid on him, and he was punished for us and he died for us. It's good news, isn't it? What happens after that? What happens if we get it wrong after that? Does he have to die again? The good thing is, he didn't stay in the grave. He got resurrected, came back to life. And that life, as a life-giving spirit, dwells in you. In me. It naturally lives according to the nature of God, because it's God. And he's come to live in us, each one of us, individually and together, that we can always enjoy the presence of God without fear, and that we can always walk with him and do anything that he wants us to do, not by our own strength. Okay, so the subject or the title is Dying to Live. I haven't got my little clicker. It's here. It's all right. Never get nowhere without a clicker. It's quite a bit to read, but I'm going to read it through. This is Romans 8. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our own sinful nature. So, God did what the law couldn't do. He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who don't have the Spirit of Christ living in them don't belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your bodies will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his sufferings. It was really good up until that bit, wasn't it? Sorry about that. Okay. Verse 13 said, if by the Spirit, with the big S, you have to look when you're reading about Spirit, is it a big S or is it a little S? This is a big S, Holy Spirit. If by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. Okay. So, what are sinful deeds? I need some help here. Not because I'm so pure and holy, I just want to ask you a question. What are sinful deeds that we've got to put to death by the Holy Spirit's work in us? It's hard to believe that any of you would know anyway, really, but... Your list is as long as mine. All deeds done apart from God are deemed as sin because it doesn't come from God. It comes from a different spirit or a different nature, and anything else outside of God is sinful. Selfish ambition, that's a goodie. We can really butter that up and make it look really smart. So if I'm doing it for them, Lord. Yeah, right. Okay. So, Luke 9:23 says, Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So, what are we denying? Well, we're denying our own selfish ambitions, we're denying our own bottom line of it is our own pride. What makes me feel good? My achievements. I did this for God. And I remember speaking with a guy who, and he was a lovely guy actually, but he said, I don't need this Christianity stuff like you obviously do. Nice man, really. But, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. But he actually believed he hadn't done anything wrong. And to be honest, I didn't know anything he'd done wrong either as a person in terms of deeds. What he didn't recognize is that he was wrong on the inside. He was born in sin. You're a sinner because you were born in Adam, not necessarily because you've done anything naughty. But in our pride, we can feel okay, and it kills us. So we have a bit of a battle with how do we please God? And I wanted to read this bit. I know it's a bit long, but I wanted to read this bit out because I think this is the reality, certainly the reality has been in my life, of Romans, or bits of Romans 7. This is Paul really trying to please God, and he loves the Lord, he loves the law, but it just didn't work. It said, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then we get to the good bit. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. And there is, we really want to serve the Lord because we love the Lord. And yet, it's quite a rocky road that God, in his love for us, has to show us. Because it's not what I want to do. It's not within my ability to do it. I do love the Lord, and I do want to serve the Lord, as you do. You know, I want to be gracious to people, but when they stamp on my foot, it doesn't always come out quite as gracious as I'd like it to. And you know, when Jesus was crushed, what came from him? Life. And God has to do a work in our lives that actually brings out the spiritual life that he's given us, the life that naturally lives and pleases him. And it's the life that actually brings life, it gives life. If you remember, Paul to the Corinthians was talking about the difficulties he went through. And it says, so that death works in us, him and his friends, but life in you. So he had to suffer in order that the life of Jesus in him might be able to operate for the sake of other people. And part of our lives is a suffering so that the life of Jesus in us can be formed and revealed for the sake of other people, as well as for us, and as well as to please God. In the Galatian church, Paul really had to be quite firm with them. They were arguing away with each other, and they weren't getting on at all well. And he had to rebuke them, but he warned them that in their attitude to each other, to walk by the Holy Spirit, because they were trying to work out their arguing, they were trying to work out their problems, and it wasn't working. And what he was saying, you've got the wrong start point. The Holy Spirit in you that God has given you will actually bring life into this environment. And it says, for the flesh sets itself against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. And the flesh in us doesn't naturally do what God wants, but the spirit that he's given us does. And John 5:30 says, Jesus of his own self, Jesus of my own self, I can do nothing. And Paul also discovered he couldn't live as God wanted, of course. But the Holy Spirit will bring us to the same conclusion. And some of the struggles, or all of the struggles really, that we go through are actually part of God's work of salvation. And that doesn't mean we have to be broken down and dragging ourselves around. They're there for a reason. We need to see our total dependence on the Holy Spirit living in us and empowering us. Romans 8:13, again, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh. Power of the Spirit sets us free from the power of the old nature. There's various things. It's called the flesh, the carnal man, the old man, the old nature. It's your natural strength. It's your natural ability. It's your natural intellect. It's what you had before you were born again of God. And the life that God has given us is in opposition to that natural life. And that natural life is fiercely in opposition to God. And, you know, we'll serve God as long as it's on my terms. And that's not acceptable. So we serve God in obedience because he's God. And the fact that he loves us and the fact that we love the Lord is great. But it's still, he is God, and he is the one who calls the shots. How do we know God? How can we know the things of God? How do we get to understand the things of God? Yeah. We've got to read his word, got to know his word. Spend time with him. Yeah. When you spend time with God, what is that thing that suddenly the light comes on and you can actually understand something, or you know God said something, or you can experience something in your emotions of the love of God or whatever it is? How does that happen? In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, we have received the Spirit from God so we can know the things from him. Natural man doesn't understand spiritual realities because they have to be revealed by the Holy Spirit to our spirit. And it says he is joined to the Lord, is one spirit with him. Unless the Holy Spirit actually reveals something to us, we are not going to understand it. We can have a mental understanding, but it does nothing. It has got no ability to change us. So we depend on the Holy Spirit to do it. And how do we worship God? What did Jesus say about the requirement of worshiping God? To worship God in the Spirit. That's right. So how does God go about changing us then? It says put to death that which is earthly in you. How do we do that? Practically, how do we put it to death? Should we join the White Knuckle Club? How do we do that? How do you do it? If you have an attitude you don't like, or if you have a circumstance you're struggling with, how do you make a difference? Yeah? 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 right. 2 Peter 1:4 says, His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Okay. So God has made complete provision for us in every area that we need. What does he have to do to get us to appreciate that and to access it? There's something that has to happen to us that we don't particularly enjoy. And we have to submit to him. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's right. And from his point of view, the Holy Spirit breaks us. Who likes being broken by God? You wouldn't get in a queue for it. But it makes no difference where you go. That's God's plans for our life. He is going to break us. He will break our natural strengths. He'll break our natural strength and our ability. Not because he doesn't like us, but because he needs our spirits to actually be free to do the will of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit's there for. He's joined to our spirit and he works with us. And he gives us the ability, exactly the same as Jesus walked on the earth. He walked by the Spirit of God. And we have to do exactly the same. We have to walk by the Spirit. And so there is something in us, that old nature, that kind of dependency on my ability, that hope that I might get it right at least once. All will go, and God will organise our circumstances for that, and he'll bring people against us even, and situations against us that we don't like, and you know, somebody will do something wrong and we'll be really angry. It's not wrong to be angry. Or a situation that's really troubles us and we can't get out of. If he's dealing with our pride, can't imagine he'd do that. If he's dealing with our pride, then you'll probably find somebody who's much prouder than you suddenly comes into your life and you can't get past them. And the only way you get past them is to humble yourself to God, and then he'll move you past at the right time when that lesson's learned. And we have to understand the things that happen to us in our life. We can say it's the devil, and it may well be the devil. It might just be somebody having a bad day and you just happen to have got in their sights. But God will use every situation and every circumstance to good. He turns everything to good. And he uses it all. If it's something the devil is putting on you and you're struggling under it, what would be the outcome of our breaking in that situation? I'll tell you, because you're probably not quite sure. If you get a situation like that, the first thing we have to know is that you pray without ceasing, and fervently probably. But you pray and you listen to God, and he will give you his word. And you take that word, and the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to believe that word, and to actually, it will do a work in you. It does a work in us as we listen and believe it. And we can only do that as the Holy Spirit does it. Can't make your mind up to believe it, because it's just you and your natural strength making your mind up to do it. But he will take us through those things. And there is a desire and expectancy in God that in everything we go through, it will drive us to him. And there is another aspect of being broken that we can work in. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. I know some of us here still do fasting, but it is a humbling of our soul. It seems a strange thing to do. to go without, well, not necessarily just food, but whatever it is you're saying, I'm not going to do that because I want to spend that time, or I want to do that to God. But you humble yourself, and God honors that, and he moves on it. But all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. And whatever situation we have to reach out to God and say, Lord, that's what I've got in Jesus. Will you bring that about to me? So if my attitude is not good, or if I really don't like something or somebody, I have to get that ability to love them from God. And it doesn't mean that they're right. They probably aren't. But God will actually change that situation when you change, when you receive that area from him of your life. God only sees one life in us. That's why he says, consider your dead and consider your alive to Jesus. There's only one life he considers, and there's only one life he's interested in. That's the new life that he's given us. It's the same thing of when Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael was done because it was the best he could do in his own strength. He got Saul in a lot of trouble. But the promise of God, delivered at the time when God decided, produced Isaac. And what did God say to Abraham when he wanted Isaac? He wanted to test him and see if he was even willing to lay Isaac down. What did he say to him? Take your son, your only son. Didn't recognize Ishmael. He said to him that he would make him a great nation. So he kind of had other plans. But as far as he was concerned, Isaac was the only son. And all of the promises was through Isaac. And it's the same with us and our old life. God only recognizes the new life that's in us. And he wants us just to recognize that life. That I am a new creation in Jesus. Made new. And that's for now. So we've got to break the old strength, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's him who does it, but we have to rely on him to do it, and we have to cry out for him to do it as well, and work with him, and as I say, humbling ourselves where necessary, but he will do that. The other thing that I felt I should say something about was justification and righteousness and that kind of thing. Do we humble ourselves and deny ourselves? What do we do that for? We do it under the hand of God. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as it says, so that he can exalt us afterwards. Lost my track. Right, I've lost my track on that bit, sorry. It's just to say that what we don't do things to make ourselves right with God. We don't do something to make us righteous. We don't stop doing something to make us righteous. Our righteousness comes from being in Jesus. Our justification comes from him. It's not our efforts to be right with God. He's made us right with him. That's not why we change things. It's not why we deny ourselves certain things. It's not why we humble ourselves. And that's not what the Holy Spirit's doing. That is just to break out our old man, our old strength, which gets in the way of us fellowshipping with God. Okay. And just last two verses I wanted to say, Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And just to say the mind, it's kind of almost like the junction point between the old and new. Both need our mind. What we agree to in our mind tends to happen in our lives. And, you know, that's why it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Fill your mind with the word of God. Understand what the promises are. What are the promises of God to us? What has he done? What does he do? And what will he do? What are we looking forward to? Take it from the word of God and praise him for those things. Okay. And the last bit, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let's run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to change our lives, we set other people free as well. It's not just for me. My salvation isn't just for me. It's for you. It's for everybody, whoever comes in contact with me, that God wants to use to connect with through me. Okay. End. Okay. Let's see. Service is over. Just going to pray and then you're going to read something. Yeah. Good Father, just thank you, Lord, that there is absolutely nothing we can do. Father, that brings life, Lord. Only you can bring life in us, Father. But Lord, just thank you that you are working to that purpose, Lord. Father, you're just taking everything that is not of you and bringing it down, Father, breaking its power over us, Lord, that we might be free, Lord, and that you might be free, Lord, to be revealed through us, Lord. Lord, and share your life with us. So Lord, just commit ourselves to you this week, Father, and Lord, just pray, Lord, that we might just walk with you, Lord, and know you in a deeper way.